A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, putting the CO in cocaine.
Bald face and bold.
Biting necks and doing business.
Get your gremlins or grown men there by Thursday.
Sorry, our goat ate the movie.
Flying sex things.
Pass me the Colorado snow.
No, I'm also a porn star.
Can't lift a boob.
Gumball machines on free play.
Pumbaa was a parrot.
Live from the nipple cam.
Fidget Legos.
Virgin Captain America on the rocks with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Star. Stream.
Please do not breastfeed in public unless you have enough to share with everybody else. Just joking. I don't care.
I just swallowed a bee.
This is The Morning Stream. Dave's not here, man.
Morgan, it is Monday, August 22nd, and this is TMS, The Morning Stream. Welcome, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett over there. Hi.
Hello, and happy brand new week to you, Scott.
Yeah, man. Top of the week to you, as the Irish would say.
Top of the week.
Eat your gin.
Eat your buxty.
Eat your buxty and all the other potato items I've made for you today. We love the Irish. Don't take us wrong. Okay. Anyway, what's going on? It's good to see everybody. We're going to do a show today. It's Monday, and it's the last week before things get a little crazy. We'll explain that more as the week goes on. But, you know, we got a vacation coming up, an anniversary. We got stuff.
Yeah. Stuff.
Yeah. But I think there will be some stuff scheduled to end up on some of the feeds. Whilst
oh, for sure.
I'm gone.
Yeah. I've already committed to doing a Brian at D23 Expo video.
Oh, nice.
For a listener to the show.
Oh.
So it'll be like me talking about, you know, I won't be able to take it into like the big Marvel premiere announcement stuff, but I'll be able to take it through the rest of the, how cool it'd be for me to like, you know, smuggle in a little camera and record the whole Marvel announcement deal.
I mean, they probably stop you, right? They probably won't let you.
They would. I mean, if it, you know, it was like hidden in a weirdly shaped Mickey Mouse hat or something.
Yeah, live from Brian's nipple cam. Mm. Right.
Exactly. Yes. It's basically just a 2-hour shot of my nipple because I forgot to turn the camera around. Dang it!
So since they did so much stuff at Comic-Con, do you think they'll even do much Marvel stuff at D23, or will it be mostly
they've slated it out in a couple hours, so
really?
I think we're gonna get a long look at Wakanda Forever.
Yeah,
we're gonna get an actual announcement of what the Fantastic Four, what shape the Fantastic Four stuff will be in. Mm-hmm. And I think we might even get a here's how we're going to bring mutants into the MCU.
I think they'll just straight up say, here's an X-Men tease, like goes full X-Men.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Hmm.
There'll
be a bald man in a little floaty car.
He'll come in and he'll be wearing a neck brace and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine, everybody.
It'll be okay. And then someone will make a little snick sound or whatever and some blades,
right, exactly.
A shadow of some blades will be up there with like a fist. And we'll be
right.
Like, oh, who's going to play the new Wolverine? And then we can guess for months before we find out.
Oh, exactly, yes. Oh, yeah, Blade. We might get more Blade information, right, with Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, I like Blade. Bring on the Blade, I say. Bring on the Blade.
Yes, bring on a good R-rated blade.
Yeah, don't be holding back on that blade, okay? Disney, I know you have a tendency to want to be like, well, let's do it for the family version. No, no, no. That's not what blade is. Blade is meant to be bloody, a little cursy, biting necks and doing business. You can't just you can't G-rate that up, okay?
No.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't even try. Don't do it.
Don't even.
No, yeah. Don't give it even a shot. All right. I had a thing happen. It was not a dream. This was real.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I haven't dreamed. No, that's not true. I dreamt a couple of times. That is correct. That's the right usage, right? Dreamt. Not dream. Not dreamed.
I dreamed a dream, except I dreamt it.
I dreamed the impossible dream. Wait, they're all doing it wrong. Brian did it right. Everyone else does it wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that one's to dream the impossible dream. That's all present tense.
Oh, he never says, I dreamed the impossible dream?
No, to dream, because he doesn't say I, he says, to dream the impossible dream.
Did MLK say, I dreamed a dream?
I dreamt a dream.
That would have been a very different speech. Anyways, yeah. So the only dreams I had were I was late for something in these dreams. I hate those dreams. They're stupid.
Yeah, I do too.
Lately, it's a bunch of those, and I don't know why. But that's not what I'm going to tell you today. Today is a story about Tesla the neighbor, all right?
Oh, okay. All right.
Hasn't been in the news for a while here. And we've been getting along just fine. It's, you know,
that's
the whole,
good.
The Excellent. Whole thing's good now. I mentioned a while back how we saw him at the pool and talked for a long time. And
yeah.
We're trying to get a barbecue back alley thing going and all this. Well, anyway, I'm in bed. We have the windows open because it cooled way down the other day. And we're like, turn off the AC, open these windows. This is awesome. It's like early fall weather. It was nice.
Yeah.
It's already hot again, but it was nice while it lasted. Anyway, so we got the windows open and we decided to have them open all night. Also, Van was with us all weekend. So he was over and sleeping on his own little bed over there in the corner. And it's about 10:30, 11. He's nodded off. Kim's asleep. And I'm not asleep. I can hear stuff. And I hear one of his Teslas pull into the thing, which you can barely hear. It's like a weird...
Yeah,
it's not even a car, right? Some robot.
You almost hear the sound of them like driving over any grit on the road louder than the engine, probably.
Yeah, that's
right?
A good way of putting it. It's very much like that. I really could just hear the tires and what they were doing. Yeah. Anyway, pulls up and hear the door open, hear him get out, hear the engine go boo or whatever those things are. And he says, to somebody who's with him, I assume it's his wife, but I don't actually hear her say anything.
Okay.
Maybe he's on a cell phone, actually. I don't know. But he says these words. He says, and I'm telling you, it was as clear as day, so I'm not mishearing this. He says, my car has all the grummins. We'll have it all there by Thursday. That was the statement.
Okay. And now, you're sure he said grummins?
As best I can tell, he said grummins. He could have. Well, this is what we're here to figure out. Yeah. What else could he have said?
Translate.
Yeah. And what would be a thing that sounds like grummins that you would want to have to somebody by Thursday?
You know, I guess we have to figure out like, all right, we'll have it all there by Thursday. Is he going on a trip?
I don't know.
And it's like, oh yeah, you know, we'll meet you at the Airbnb. We'll have all the stuff there by Thursday. Or I'm taking my car to the shop. I'll have it all there by Thursday, which could be, you know, my car has gremlins, right? My car has all the gremlins. Like he's talking to doing a late night call to his on mechanic. I don't know. That is weird.
I don't know. Like it's as good an explanation as any. I can't tell. And I kind of want to ask him, but that's weird. Yeah. You know, hey, dude, I heard you talking the other night.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely, I can say, by the way, I was eavesdropping on you pulling into your driveway the other night.
Yeah, it was really weird. So, like, if he's up to something, grummins could be me mishearing some term for druggins. I don't know.
It's the new term for bath salts. Grummins.
Grummins. Got to get those grummins somewhere.
Hey, you holding any grummins?
Yeah. It sounds like a pretty good drug name if you know, we could make it a thing.
It kind of does, yeah.
But
I am so grummin right now.
I'm hankering for a grummin, you would say. So I don't know what to make of it. If somebody at home has ideas, the chat seems not to have any idea.
Yeah.
So if anybody at home
I'd say Thursday, make sure you... You plop a lawn chair out in the front yard and you just sit there and watch and see what's going on Thursday.
That's a good idea. I can actually kind of keep an eye on comings and goings anyway.
Yes, exactly.
So maybe I can see him fill his car with quote-unquote Grummins, whatever they Grummins, are.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then leave and have them there by Thursday. You know, they hold the whole...
The comings and goings almost sound like you merge those and you get Grummings.
Yeah, the... As someone who watches the comings and goings is watching the Grummins.
The Grummings, yeah. The
That's
Grummins.
Amazing. All right. Anyway, I'll let you guys know what I'm sure it's nothing. He probably just said, I don't know. Who knows? It could have been his mom and he's got gummy bears. I don't know what I heard. I just know I heard Grummins. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, too funny.
Brian, I am to play a little thing here.
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
All right. How'd lifting go this weekend? Anything
So lifting has been, you know, I lifted on Friday and Sunday since we last spoke. And it's been all friendly, fun people. Like, you know, I do the interview thing. If they talk, if they get in the car and say, hey, how's your day going so far? I say, oh, pretty good. How about yours? And they go, oh, you know, can't complain. And then, you know, I say, oh, looks like we're heading to the baseball. Or the, you know, we're heading to Coors Field. Are you going to go check out the baseball game? Yeah, you know, da-da-da-da. And so we'll talk about that and all.
Sure.
And people love to talk about, you interview them about themselves, right?
Right.
Because they'll always say, how long have you been lifting? And, oh, do you do this full time? And it's like, no, I'm a porn star.
Duh.
I just make ends meet. This is my audition. Yeah. I'm auditioning to.
Yeah, making ends meet, quote unquote. Anyway.
Right. Yeah, so I picked up first thing Friday morning. My first ride of the day is a scheduled ride to the airport. And I pull up and to the push pin. And a very handsome man is standing there with his bags. And he gets in the car. Little chit, you know, the typical small talk. And he says, oh, by the way, we're going to be picking up an associate of mine at a hotel along the way to the airport. And then you're just basically taking both of us to the airport. Like, oh, cool. No problem.
Sure.
So along the way, he's talking about, we pass a Lego outlet. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I have two grown sons. And I swear, you know, we'll still just kind of sit, you know, while we're talking or something. We'll just have a bowl of Legos on the table and be using those to kind of fidget and build stuff. And
sure.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, my son still has Legos. We have a bin of those at home. And every once in a while, and I told him about Brickit, the app that we talked about a couple weeks ago, where you splay all your bricks out on the table and take a picture and it figures out everything.
Sure.
So we get to the other hotel and we pick up his associate, and it's a woman who, you know, he even says it like, you know, so when she gets in the car, we'll be talking business. I'm like, oh, you don't, you know, it's your ride. You spend it however you want. I felt like he was trying to apologize that he's going to stop talking to me as soon as she's in the car.
Oh, it's like, that's funny.
No big deal at all.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
You're there just to facilitate the ride. You're there to drive while they do what they want.
I'm a fly in the wall.
Yeah.
And not in the David Spade and, very much so in the David Spade and Dana Carvey, where you don't hear me talk much at all.
Yeah, you're the guest. In that case, you're the guest, and you don't get to say anything. Exactly.
Exactly. So she gets in the car and says, oh, so, you know, that was a really fun event last night. I'm sure it was great. You know, you enjoyed, looked like you were meeting and talking to all these people. And of course, you know, I do eavesdrop. I have to listen. They're in my car and I've turned down my music to let them have their conversation.
Sure.
So it's, you know, not like, but what I do is I listen to my music enough to where I can keep the beat with my fingers. And so that way, if they look up front, they see me keeping the beat and they're like, oh, he's listening to his music. He doesn't hear anything we're talking about.
Sure.
It's a weird, I just do it to be polite kind of thing.
Sure. It's kind of driver you are. I get it.
Yeah. So, you know, eventually they're talking about his book and oh yeah. So, you know, well, I know you've seen Free Solo and we've talked about that. And I know your book, you know, that you're writing, is going to be about this sort of thing and this rock climbing thing and da, 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 da. And I just want to make sure you're good with what we've been showing you so far. He's like, oh yeah. So when you open up the front of the book, what's that first thing called? She's like, oh, it's a paste page and like, da, da, da. And they're getting into all the weeds about this book that she's a book publisher. He's writing a book or has written a book and they're working on publishing it.
Yeah.
And so like, oh, wow, this is very interesting stuff. I'm learning about the book industry and a little bit about this guy. And his name is Conrad. So basically, as soon as I drop and he talk about the most polite, even during the ride, they would chit chat with me and be like, how long have you lived in Colorado? Oh, it's so beautiful here. all that sort of thing.
Sure.
So we get to the airport. I drop them off, and as I'm pulling around to the other side of the airport and waiting a few minutes for the next ride, I do a quick search: Conrad mountain climber, rock climber.
Yeah.
And immediately pulls up this guy named Conrad Anker. I see the photo from the Wikipedia. It's like, oh, that's exactly him. Anker, like all the batteries and stuff you get for your phones and
chargers cool.
and things like that.
We love Anker. They're a good brand.
We do love Anker.
I don't think they're related.
I don't think they're related at all. But he's the guy who discovered, went up and discovered Mallory, so-and-so. What's the guy's name? Edward Mallory?
George Mallory, right? George Mallory,
one of the first people to, or the first person to climb Everest. Conrad Anker led an expedition to go and find the remains, and they found him. And yeah, if you go to conradanker.com, there's his website. That's the dude. He's like, you know, like you said, he's very cool, handsome, rugged looking dude who went to BYU. He's he's a Utahan.
Yeah, he is. He's a Utah dude. His actual graduate, it looks like he went to BYU for a while and then graduated University of Utah, according to his Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. He had a heart attack on the Widowmaker.
Yeah.
He had a Widowmaker heart attack, they call it, in 2016 during an attempted ascent of the Luang Ri. I don't know where that is. It's a big mountain somewhere. Where he had to go to Kathmandu and get emergency coronary angioplasty with a stent. It just about killed him. But
incredible. Like, you know, he's one of those people that probably does more before 8 a.m. than you or I will do the entire day.
Sure feels like it. He's been doing this since, he did the southeast face of Gurney Peak in 87. That's where he started doing the big peaks. And then all the way up till 2016.
So we have a lot of 14ers in Colorado. I don't know if he didn't say anything when they were in the car about doing any 14ers while he was here. I think he just really specifically came to meet with a publisher, but she had to fly in as well, so it's not like the publisher is necessarily based here in Colorado. Maybe publishing company is based here in Colorado, and then they came here to do this little meeting event that apparently they went to the night before.
I have a little bit of his voice. Do you want to hear it and tell me if this sounds
Sure.
Okay, it's on his Wikipedia page. Let's see how this goes.
Too much risk is when you feel that you can't turn around and you can't control it anymore.
But is that the guy?
100%. That's exactly him. Imagine him talking about Legos, and that's the dude.
I really like when I just have pieces to build my own ideas.
My favorite
brick
is the six nib, by two.
Is that a real thing? Is that the six nib is a thing? Is that a deal?
I would say brickologists, Lego brickologists, probably do have names for all those, so that they can really quickly say, oh, I need a six nib right here, I need an eight nib, or I need a, you know, a 2x3 or a 6x4.
Yeah, we'll probably, I'll bet you we got some hardcore Legoer in the listenership.
Yeah, we for sure do.
What do you guys call that? Do you have like little drawers set up and you just keep your 2x3s in one and your your pornographic little minis in another? Like, what do you do? How do you do it? We want to know what's up. Yeah. Anyway,
that was really kind of it for you know.
That's cool though. What a cool ride though, with a guy with a very interesting past and present, and I don't know, a little
really
Utah
was.
Connection.
And I should have guessed, because they give me when I pick them up, I get a little picture of what their face is.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I had to capture one yesterday, and I'm going to send it to you because
awesome. Awesome.
This is something right here. I don't have his, but when I saw his, I thought, man, this guy just used some sort of professional photograph for his.
Was this the one right here I just put in? And you're just
that's it. That's exactly the photo that's on his. Yeah,
that's his Wikipedia lift, right? Shot so like, as well. Yeah,
like wow, that's a professional photo. Go to your. I think I sent it to. Yeah, go to your. your text message and look at the one I just sent you. This is,
oh my gosh. what's her deal? My gosh.
I don't know. And that's kind of what she looked like, but maybe that's a photo of
looks like Rihanna.
Rihanna looking. Yeah. I think it's Rihanna looking at the eclipse or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's a person who goes by Phoenix and they look like they're squinting into the eclipse. You're right.
Yeah, I think that could be Rihanna. I'm pretty sure that's a Rihanna face. Yeah, but
something Rihanna-ish about it. But that's fantastic. Yes. I love that.
Yeah, so you can, so as a Lyft rider, you can use any photo you want as your Lyft ride. As long as it's approved, I think you'll get reported if you put, you know, a picture of a boob or something like that.
Oh, yeah, you can't do a boob. If you do a boob, they're going to go. They're coming after you. The boob police will get you every time.
The boob police. The boob police.
All right. Now I must know about goats. There were goats involved.
Yeah. So we did mystery date. I talked about this, I think, Thursday or maybe it was Friday. It was Friday during Couch Potato.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You brought it up briefly. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. The mystery date. And Tina said, well, you have to wear closed-toed shoes. And that's all I'm going to tell you. So I was like, oh, great. What are we doing? Like walking through a field of shit or something?
Kind of.
Kind of. Yeah. That's actually not too far. So these goat yoga places are all around where you basically do yoga in a penned-in area with a bunch of goats, baby goats. And as you're doing your downward-facing dog, these goats will say, oh, you're a fun surface to climb on, and they'll hop up on your back or whatever. But they're there to provide some sort of zen because they're you know, sweet animals that kind of walk around and look at you weird.
Sure.
At night, you can't really do goat yoga, so this place near us has something called Goat Flicks and Chill. And they have a projector, a little projector on a milk crate, and a big screen and a couple of speakers where they'll show a movie while goats are wandering all around you. And you can actually bring in your own blanket. We took chairs. We're kind of glad we took chairs, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But you walk in, and the Roxbury, Night at the Roxbury, the two guys, Will Ferrell, Chris Kattan, where once they spot a woman who they could talk to, they just kind of like crowd her, get in her face, and kind of like bash her back and forth between their chests.
Yeah, they're doing their like sideways dance thing.
While they're doing their sideways dance thing. Yeah. So that's kind of what it's like when you walk into the penned area. Because on your way in, you're carrying your chair and maybe a bottle of water or something.
Sure.
And you've got a cup full of feed of goat food and Dixie cup kind of size.
Sure.
And so you walk in and immediately they're like, we know that when people come in here, they are coming with a cup of food. There's nobody who enters this pen that is not carrying a cup of food. So they immediately crowd around you and you're trying to get your chair undone at the same time. And you know, ours is in a zippered pouch. So we have to unzip the pouch, pull the chair out of the pouch, then pull it apart. This whole time trying to do it while holding a cup full of food or having Tina hold my cup of food while I do both chairs. And they just see it as a game. Like, oh, I bet I can knock him over and get the food that way or whatever. Dude, this was such a blast. So it they show Back like to fun. The Future.
Yeah. Oh, and, really? Back to the Future? Why that is a choice? I'm just curious. That seems like an odd one.
Originally, it was going to be The Karate Kid. They basically choose family-friendly stuff, and it's almost always like 80s, couple 90s options. Not lying. When we walked up to the table to do the check-in and get our goat food, the guy running it said, well, it was going to be Karate Kid tonight, but one of the goats chewed the DVD, like got through, chewed right through the box into the DVD.
That's amazing. So, that's amazing.
He had choices, and he had all six DVDs, not even Blu-rays, folks. DVDs laid out in front of us, and it was Indiana Jones. It was Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Back to the Future, The Water Boy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Three Amigos, and Ghostbusters were the choices.
Wow. And do you all, you don't all vote, they just pick one.
We kind of all vote. So he says, so, you know, instead of that one, we have these six, which one would you like? And, you know, a girl there has her phone out and she's just kind of taking a rough poll on what people want to watch. And yeah. Tina's like, yeah, I like any of those except for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And the girl doing the phone is like, yeah, I think I'm going to hide that one on the table because I don't think anybody wants to watch that.
There are people who do, but you don't want to hang around them, you know?
Yeah. So we said, yeah, pretty much any of those would be fine. You know, they're all would be fun because really you're there. You're not going to be paying full attention to the movie because
no, there are goats everywhere.
There are goats everywhere. The goats will have eaten all of the food out of the cups before the credits even start rolling on the movie. And after that, and just to kind of give you a timeline, I timed it a little bit out. So before the credits even roll, everybody's cups are empty. The goats are wandering around, kind of up to everybody. Got any more food? Got any more food? They're like, you know, you put your hands out and they'll just kind of like, nam, 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 like lick into your hand in case you have any goat food dust in your hands.
Yeah, like you do.
And then keep moving, you know, wandering around. By about the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, they were all curled up on people's blankets next to them, or just kind of sitting next to somebody who's kind of stroking under their chins and that sort of thing. They've all mellowed out for the last half hour of the movie.
That's awesome. Did they do this?
Yeah.
Let me find a clip here. A lot of that.
None of them made that noise, but I did put on Twitter the noise one of them, like one of them was walking around talking the whole time, and I put his little voice on Twitter because he was just so darn cute.
Oh, that's awesome. I like goats. Goats are weird, man. They got the little square eye, the square square pupils, I'm trying to say.
Pupils.
So weird.
They are really entertaining because they, like, you'll sit there and be petting one, and another one will just kind of come up and look at you and look at the goat getting pet and look back up at you. And it's like you're watching them kind of weirdly suss all this information out. Like, all right, you're petting him. You're going to be petting me next. Do you have any food? Any food, by the way? All right, you can pet me, but do you have any food?
Yeah, that sounds about like a goat to me.
It is pretty goaty. But pretty goaty. If you have this near you, absolutely look for it because it is a blast. I'm sure it will be called Net Goat Flicks and Chill, but if you just basically look for, you know, goat movie experience or something like that.
I wonder
that,
if they have to be like licensed or something, you know, because like...
Yeah, I wonder, I'm sure. Because of the fact that this projector is sitting on a milk crate, which I might add, frequently the goats will just walk in front of the screen and you'll see... You know, Biff and Marty, Biff punching Marty on the side of a goat for like a minute. This is like the most unofficial janky, but I don't think Universal is coming after them to say, you showed this for eight people in a pen. That's about how many of us there were, by the way, just like eight of us.
Are they normally like a petting zoo or something, or what's their normal
deal? I don't know if they do any of that. I know that they do goat yoga on the weekends and I think Friday mornings, but I don't know if they do any sort of like, we take the goats to a petting zoo or sell goat milk or anything like that. They didn't have any signs for anything except for goat yoga. Not even a sign for this movie thing.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So
you make me want a goat. That's what
yes.
you make me do.
Take lawn chairs, because even though it's really cute to have the goats cuddle up next to you on the blanket, and all blankets had a goat cuddled up next to people, for the first, you know, for Marty's trip back to 1955, they are just walking around, poop falling out of their butts like they're like a gumball machine set on free play.
Yeah, they're like birds. They don't care. They're just poop.
I even think they're not even aware poop is falling out of their butt because it just rolls out.
It comes out.
It's like marble madness going on there.
Oh, man. It made me choke.
Marble run.
Marble run. Goat, marble goat simulator run. All right. Well, fun times, sounds like.
It was a blast. It really was a great time.
All right. Well done, Tina. That was hers, right?
That was Tina's, and I've got mine already planned for next month.
Yeah.
And I can't say anything because she listens to the show, so.
All right, Tina, go back. What?
She's not a patron, so maybe I'll talk about it on Patreon.
Oh! Take that, Tina Ibbett.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play a game. Yeah, that's right. That music means it's time for a little game show thing that we do on Mondays called Half Asses, the Morning Half Asses, and it's... only with Brian Dunaway that it's possible. Hi, Brian Dunaway. Welcome back.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How's it going? It's Monday.
Yeah, it is.
It's going well.
You sound very upbeat, ready to rock, take the week by the testicles and yank, right?
Ouch. Maybe not that far, but sure.
Okay.
I'm at least going to pull his ponytails.
Okay, great. Do that. They're right now. They're right near the testicles. It's good to have you here. We're going to play a game.
Ponytails in your testicles?
Brian's going to explain this game because, you know, its rules are different than the Wednesdays thing. So explain, cool. Brian.
Its rules are long, too. Welcome to the Morning Half-Asses, a trivia game where I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian the answers. I'm just handing them the answers.
Keep them to me.
You know, it's up to them whether they want to use them or not. I'm going to give them a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct. Three that are just bold-faced lies. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if they get any wrong, they get 0 points for that round. Guessing one and get it right gets a point. If they guess two and get them both right, they get a point. And if they guess all three correctly and get them right, I guess guessing them correctly would imply that they get them right. They get 5 points is what they get for all that madness. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. I pulled a couple members of the Tadpool here that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Sarah of Sacramento, California.
Ah, the capital of the fine state of California. Nice.
That is correct. Yep. Brian, you're going to be playing for Blue Floyd of New Zealand.
Blue Floyd.
Oh, hi, Blue Floyd. I know Blue Floyd. Well. Yes.
I love that Good. Name, Blue yes. Floyd. That's great.
Excellent. All right.
So you're giving us three. You said three. Bold-faced lies or bald-faced lies?
Oh, and they're bald-faced. Well, I've heard they're both. They're in bold on my card, but the term is bald-faced lies.
It's always been bald-faced?
Okay. It has always been bald-faced.
That's good to know.
So bald is in you've shaved your face, or bold is in you're like, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm bold. Enough?
Yeah, no, okay. Definitely bald-faced lies, and I'm wondering where that comes from, like, no, I don't have a mustache and a beard. It's a lie.
Yeah.
Look at him. You can't
My
trust
face
him.
Is bald.
His face is hairless.
Yeah, hairless face. It. Bald yeah, face. That's
that'd
weird.
Be interesting. I'd love to know the story behind that phrase. All right, let's get to it.
All right.
You guys are both logged in here. Let's get to question number one. Let's start off with something easy for you guys, both having kids.
Yeah.
And even grandkids in one case. Maybe you've watched this recently. I want to know the names of the hyenas in The Lion King.
We know
Pumbaa was the parrot, but do we know that... I'm just kidding.
Pumbaa was the parrot.
That's a thing. That's a long
standing meme here on the show. That's all.
Yes,
good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Apologies.
No, it's fine. Please keep up. So your choices are Banzai, Ed, Malu, Shenzi, Scar, and Tabaki or Tabaqui. I'll put them in there. Banzai, Ed, Malu, Shenzi, Scar, and Tabaqui.
Okay. The hyenas.
Oh man, I've seen that movie a lot.
I know. Yeah, I can.
Yeah,
I try
yeah.
and do these myself. I don't look at the back of the card before I make my guess, and I was.
I can tell you
surprised at how I did.
I can tell you that movie came out in 1994 without looking it up.
Okay.
Because that was the year my daughter was born. All right, let's see. Sure. I'm going to do two of these that I know for sure.
Are you going two?
Yeah, because I don't know.
Ah, look at you.
I'm going three.
Is that a strategy? Like, tell them how many you're going with and then...
I don't know. Maybe it works against me, that horrible strategy I just tried.
I don't know if it does or not.
Yeah.
All right. You guys both picked Ed. Ed is correct. Yeah, Ed is
he's the dumb
Chong,
one.
I think was Ed.
No, was Ed. Ed Cheech was another one. Ed was the one that was kind of dumb.
Okay.
And so they were always going, Ed?
Yeah, he was
Ed,
goofy.
Yeah, he was just...
Oh, right, okay.
And that's what made it funny. Whoopi that Goldberg was the joke.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg, Cheech Marin, and then I don't know who played Ed.
It wasn't.
Do you think they were playing mean and they were referring to Special Ed? You think that they were?
Oh man! I don't know. Let's cancel that movie now.
I think it's time to call out Disney on their gross misuse of that term. Also, that flying out that sex thing. Remember the sex thing that flies out when
Mufasa or when Simba plops down in the big old dirt pile makes the sex
spells
cloud.
The word sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
I love Disney sneaky stuff. I think it's great.
I do too. Big it fan. Just doesn't work in the day and age of streaming, pausing, Blu-rays, and things like that.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, let's get to your answers here. Brian Dunaway, look at that. Getting all three correct. Banzai, Shenzi, yes. and Ed for 5 points for Brian Dunaway. Malu, not a...
No.
Not a...
It's a bird, isn't it?
I don't know what Malu is.
I don't know what Malu is either, but you're... Now that I
it's
see
a
them...
greeting.
Now that I see them
the
and
island.
We've talked about know. It long enough, it all makes sense. I don't ever remember Cheech Marin's character being called as... Like someone saying the name Banzai. I don't remember any of that, but yeah.
I don't either.
Ed, I remember Ed.
Are you sure he was Banzai and not Shenzi?
I think so. I think Shenzi was Whoopi Goldberg, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Right. She was in 10 forward a lot, and they barely had her on. Just
anyway. All right. So let's get to question number dose. And let's go a little bit more, founding fathers here. Rights in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. You know, we don't hear much about the Constitution these days. Nobody brings it up
or
puts a sticker on the back of their truck with all of the rights or anything like that.
No.
Which of these are rights in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution?
You ever tried to read the Constitution? It's like...
I keep running into the back of their car as I'm trying to read their window sticker. It's horrible.
Mm.
All right. You've got the choices. Right. The pursuit of happiness, freedom of the press, the right to bear arms, trial by jury, freedom of religion, and right to assembly. Three of those are in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Three of them are not.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to answer this wrong, and it's like, no, Brian, that was the Second Amendment. And I'll be like, go!
Yeah, I think
and
I know.
I'm going to get shit for the rest of my life.
Yep, that's right. They'll just say, you're just like everybody else. You don't know what's in that damn document. Read the damn thing before you put it on your truck.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I'm trying to, oh my God, what, is that a, some of these feel like such tricks because I've just always assumed, you know what?
Sure.
Lock it in, slowpoke.
It feels tricky. It feels tricky. I'm only going with one because only one.
These are all tricky. Everything about this game is tricky. It's all tricky. Yeah, it's tricky to rock around. Rock around on time. It's tricky.
Yeah.
We all knew what
it was. Is it rock around or rock a rhyme? I always thought it was rock a rhyme.
To rock a rhyme.
I thought it was walk around.
Right on time.
Yeah. No, I believe you guys 100%, but I've always said walk around, and I'm sure that's wrong.
It's tricky to walk around.
I did. I used
in
to
these
think that's
big old
it
Adidas, it's tricky to walk around. Gotta tie my Adidas. It's tricky to walk around.
Yeah,
that's great. All right, Scott, nailing it. Freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and right to assembly. Very good.
I chickened out.
Yeah. You did, and it's a good thing you did, because you had right to bear arms, which is my second amendment.
I was almost positive about right to assemble, but I couldn't remember for sure, and I kept thinking freedom of religion feels like it probably is in there, but then I'm like, they're going to nail
it. It is, but also important note about that freedom of religion thing. It's not just about that. It's about the freedom of religion and the government not imposing any sort of religion on anyone and also not interfering with yours. A lot of people screw that up and think it just means freedom of religion means the government's going to be part of my religion. No, it doesn't. It means the freaking opposite. They're not supposed to interfere.
Why has it got
to
be a Southern guy?
I know, the stereotype comes out. I can't help it. But the point is, read it. Read it before you flaunt it is what I'm getting at. All right.
Exactly.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we've got ourselves a game. Brian barely leading with 6 points, 1 point ahead of Scott, who's got 5. This last one for all the marbles. And let's go to television for this one.
Oh.
Before it was called Friends, the show had several working titles. I'd like you to see which of these three are real ones. The choices are Six of One, Central Perk, Friends Like Us, Rachel, Buds, and Insomnia Cafe.
Three of those
are actual working titles for the TV show Friends. Three of those are not.
That seems dumb.
I don't know this.
You know what? Sometimes when I click these, you may see me click on them, but I'm doing is looking at it, and I'm like putting my finger on it going, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Listen, until you lock it in, they're not answers. You're testing how the shoe fits, basically.
I'm locking in two. I don't know. Hope that's
Scott's
right.
Locking in two.
I'm going one to see if we can tie it up. This feels like that.
Keep in mind, do you not pay attention to how the convoluted scoring system works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
If he gets his two right, he gets 3 points for that. Even if you get yours right. Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. So exciting. I will say that Friends Like Us was indeed a working title. And that was actually the most likely titled until they shortened it to just Friends. So Friends Like Us was right up until, you know, I think the moment that they went live with the show was originally called Friends Like Us.
Sure.
Six of One, Scott put in.
Yeah.
And that's another correct one. So Scott.
Oh, look at that. Look at it's Jonathan doing it. I had it clicked.
And Insomnia Cafe was the other working title for the show. It was
really?
A lot of people in the chat room said, oh, Central Perk has to be Central Perk. No.
No.
Central Perk, Rachel, and Buds were all the fakes. It was Insomnia Cafe. And I think, boy, the show would have not done as well if it was called Insomnia Cafe.
Right. Also, Rachel was in an unknown, like, she wasn't the main character. Certainly not in the beginning. Like, in that pilot, she's barely a thing in that pilot. So,
oh, no. In the pilot, she's the reason, like, she basically is the first thing you see, right? Because she does the runaway bride thing.
Oh,
she shows up looking for the apartment, like, basically hooking back up with Mana because she needs a place to live.
That's right. I forgot. You're right. It did kind of circle around her a bit.
It circled around her for that pilot episode, and maybe that is what they were,
pilot's weird. About. It's a weird pilot. It's, well, like a lot of pilots. They're all weird. Yeah. Like, we watched the Seinfeld pilot the other night, and I forgot. And I always forget there's no Elaine. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
Not even a mention.
Yeah,
and I can't even imagine that show without her. So it's just so weird. Pilots are weird.
Get out is what they said to Elaine.
That's right. They said get out, and then they pushed her
really hard.
Yeah,
they pushed her really hard.
Yeah, yes. She pushed herself. So that's okay.
So congratulations to
look at Scott,
Sarah at Sacramento, California. You're getting a copy of Remothered Broken Porcelain. If it sounds like we've been trying to give this one away, we have for the last couple weeks, and people haven't been winning it in Feud. Remothered Broken Porcelain and Planet Zoo. Which sounds like a really cool.
It is really good. Cool. Planet Zoo's awesome. It's a zoo tycoon game.
That's what I was guessing. Yeah,
and it's called. Let's see, it's made by the people who make the Jurassic Park game. Those two games. Can't think of the name of the game.
Cool. But don't worry, Blue Floyd of New Zealand. You're getting the Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan.
Oh, scary game.
A better game. That's a better game.
If you like horror games, it's a better game.
Is it really?
It's a scary game. If you like horror games, then it's good. No doubt. But if you don't, if you like a nice, relaxing zoo tycoon game, I think Planet Zoo is the winner. If I had to guess.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not, you say? Well, all right then.
Yeah, definitely not.
Well, congratulations goes to the Sacramento lady, Sarah. And
to everybody.
Blue Floyd, you're cool, but... No deal. Yeah, no deal for you.
You know, you missed out on a really good prize, apparently.
That's right.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
Hey, Dunaway, here's the good news. Tomorrow, you and I sit down and talk about the most prolific race arcade creator of all time. And I don't mean race
Yu
like,
Suzuki.
You know. Yeah, Yu Suzuki. Nothing to do with Suzuki, the brand. Just that happened to be his name. But he's known for such things as Super Hang-On and, of course, Daytona, USA. What was the other? Round? No, what's it called? What's the one we love?
Yeah, Outrun, baby.
Out of Run. And the games that inspired it was a huge part of those years in both the arcade and home market. And we're going to talk about those retro experiences tomorrow on Play Retro. We're going to do it at 3:30 Mountain Time live if you want to watch it, or it'll be up on the podcast right after. So be here for that. Okay. I have things
to
say.
There's going to be so much good music and audio clips. Daytona.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let go away or whatever the hell it said.
Oh, that's right. It actually had vocals. Like
it did.
Like a song that actually had vocals in it.
Yeah. The weird part about it was it had like two vocals. Like Daytona, Let's Go Away. I think that was it. Mm-hmm. And then they just repeated it, which is really weird. Anyway, you want to know about that? Good. We're bringing it to you. That's tomorrow. On Play Retro, and I was gonna say the PSP version of Outrun Rush or Outrun something. It's a PSP Outrun game.
There's Outrun, Outrunners, Outrun 2.
This is something else. Dang it! I have it on my Steam Deck. I'll have to find it. Anyway, it's amazing. It's the best ever, and I realize it's not quite in the retro zone of time, but it's an amazing Outrun game. And we'll talk all about it. So check that out tomorrow. Hey, Dunaway, that was fun. Anything else you want to say before I cut you out?
It was a lot of fun. Don't cut me off. I just want to.
Goodbye. All right. well, at least I said goodbye. You know, you say goodbye, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do one news story. today.
Okay.
Because we have time for one.
Okay.
And here's this. It's time for the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by the lost Alanis Morissette ironic lyric, bees on your barbecue.
Yep.
It's like bees on your barbecue.
That's kind of perfect. Because we had our barbecue last night with Nick and his girlfriend, and we thought it would be great to eat outside because it was so nice out. And then the bees came, and the bees were in force, and and they brought their fly friends. F off, insect world. I know that's the time of the year, end of August, we get flies. That's what happens.
Yeah.
But gosh dang it. Couldn't eat anything.
It is irritating,
We had a skirt steak, big old skirt steak that we cooked, barbecued up. And Kim's like, if one more fly lands on this, we're going inside. And then 1 second later, a fly landed on it, and we went inside. A dog tested positive for monkeypox. This is the first suspected human-to-pet transmission. So
have we not done this?
Did we talk about it?
I want to say we've talked about this, because we were saying, is it monkeypox now or is it dogpox?
Oh, we did do it. You're right. Instead, here's your story.
Let's talk about Colorado.
Hey.
Thank you, Scott.
Listen, Brian, do you know what Colorado's famous for? No. Well, here's what they're famous for now. Well, you're going to wish. Colorado is now the nation's largest cocaine use capital.
Oh, man. Oh, good. Okay.
Yep. Colorado.
We know how to use it.
Yep. You're high on the fentanyl as well, but...
That one we knew about. Yeah, it's... When Colorado allows drugs, we don't, we don't stop. It's like, hey, pot's legal.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's do everything else.
Let's do all the illegal things. They just keep moving up. Yeah. United States saw a 15% increase in drug overdose deaths, according to the most recent provisional figures from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. That's the CDC. In 2021, there were 107,622 overdose deaths, up from 93,000 plus in the previous year. Colorado State Patrol has seized records seized record amounts of drugs this year. And in 2021, at least one stat points to higher than average drug use in the centennial state. Colorado is the most cocaine using state in the union. According to the survey, 2.24% of Coloradans age 12 and older reported using cocaine in the past year. They didn't ask
blew
you, though.
My mind. Like, I would have said, for sure California, for sure New York. And they're up there. They're, just a couple tenths of a percentage point away from Colorado. But
New Hampshire's right behind you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that New Hampshire. It's a weird.
It is weird. New Hampshire and Vermont being right behind Colorado is really strange.
New Hampshire, Vermont, then New York, then California. Colorado adults are among the likeliest in the nation to say they do not perceive great risk from regular cocaine use. One of the state's population, 18-year-old or 48.35, said they perceive greater risk from monthly cocaine use, or they perceive great risk from monthly cocaine use. Mm. Only Oregon and Utah have lower rates. Utah. Woo-hoo! Utah. With our lower cocaine rate.
Well, lower cocaine rate and lower people thinking that it's harmful, right?
We're even dumber.
Thank goodness you guys more believe that cocaine is harmful.
I mean, look, we watched a lot of Miami Vice growing up, so we know what's up. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Stephen Schleicher will be here. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. He'll be here, and we're going to talk to him, and it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. Love having Steven on for Major Spoilers, but that won't happen until we play a song to break the show up in the middle. So, Brian, what do you got there?
Break it up, everybody. Fabian Kuhn wrote in, and he said, hello, Covermeister. Fabian from Germany here, longtime listener, patron, and Nerdtacular 2015 attendee.
Oh, best year.
I'd like to request an in-the-middle song to be played anytime you like. Way back in the distant past of 2007, even before TMS, I made friends with an amazing co-apprentice at our bookstore. Inga finished training sometime before I did and left for the big city, in her case, Cologne. I'm still here in semi-placid, nearly boulder-sized Lunenburg, and very happy whenever I hear from her. She's been part of one band or another as long as I've known her, and I've always admired her singing voice. In the beginning of 2018, Inga and the two guitarists Thorsten and Felix formed the band, and Giso and Nima joined by the end of the year. Oh, the band is called Gong Wah, G-O-N-G-W-A-H. and their sound is fuzzwave. This is a sound that sits somewhere between shoegaze, psychedelic, and krautrock while breathing the DIY spirit of a punk new wave era. Whatever it's called, dude, I love this. This is from their 2022 album, A Second. Here is Gong Hua and the song This Life.
On a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair, warm smell of coriander, dry steam up through the air.
Oh, that sucks. This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett. Big ol' freaking dirt blanket.
Tell me more about that amazing Fuzz Wave song.
Good. That is called This Life. That is by Gong Wa, and you'll find it on their brand new album, A Second.
Did I get that right? Fuzz Wave? Is that what you called it?
Fuzz Wave, I believe, is what I called it. I've already closed that email, but yes, Fuzz Wave, Kraut Rock.
I'm interested
indie
in more.
Shoegaze.
Yeah. And by the way, it's your fault the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, who was it you introduced me to on here? And I went and just binged it.
Was it Dutch singer with K's Choice?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. And yeah. I listened and listened and listened, and I loved it.
Oh, so good.
It was really good. Yeah. Turns out exactly what I needed at the moment I needed it.
Awesome. Oh, I love it. Good. Yeah. I'm glad I could be there for you.
Ah, you're able to facilitate a great music matchup for me.
Excellent.
One day we're doing this whole show in that voice. Today is not that voice. Day.
St. Patrick's Day, we'll do this in the whole show in that voice.
That's right. Okay. Steven Schleicher time.
Yeah.
Guy gave me another comic recommendation that I ended up reading. At least I think it was him that gave it to me. But anyway, let's see. We'll find out. Nice.
Steven Schleicher.
As you know, Steven Schleicher joins us every Monday to talk about all the cool stuff happening over at majorspoilers.com. Comics, movies, TV, whatever's going on. We're here to do it with Steven. Hi, Steven. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, man. Was it you that told me about Seven Sons, or am I smoking crack? It may not have been you. Does that comic sound familiar?
No, it does not.
Okay. Jay Lee. You know Jay Lee, the artist.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Him and some other collaborator. It's their creator-owned thing over at Image.
Yes, I know this one. Yes. I know it. I have not. I did not recommend it.
I ended up reading all three of the first. I think there's only three issues. I could be wrong. There might be more. I binged the first three and loved it. Basically, the concept is the world thinks the second coming has happened, but there are seven of them. And they think that they're all Jesus babies. And this is set in the modern time. But they think they're all Jesus babies because they were born to mothers who they were immaculate conceptions, right? So no dad involved, no sex. Suddenly there's just a baby. Right. Mm-hmm. So they think all seven of these people, and they're all seven boys, and they think the seven sons are this group, and that a bunch of people have rallied around it and turned it into like a gigantic religious movement to the point that Las Vegas is now called New Canaan, and everything, Brian, in Vegas has been converted into big religious stuff.
You'd sent me a screenshot of that first, that title page.
Yes, that was that. Yeah, that's right.
Splash page. Yeah.
And they even had the old Vegas sign, but instead it says, "Welcome to fabulous New Canaan." And then like all the structures and stuff you're used to in Vegas are all turned into these monolithic religious effigies and stuff. And man, that thing goes places. It's real good. It's a cool comic. Anyway,
very cool.
And if you guys like Jay Lee's like kind of trippy art style, he's got a really weird style. That'll get it done for you. Anyway, there's my comic recommendation.
Nice.
Yeah, no, he did. I think he did the art on the Dark Tower comic book adaptation over at Dynamite or Marvel. I forget which one.
I think it was Marvel at the time. And that was, I have all those issues. That's very good in there. He also did the recent covers, not the page to page, but the covers for the Dune adaptation stuff. Mm-hmm. He's great. There's just something about his work. Can't put my finger on what it is about it, but it's weird. Anyway, if you guys are interested in that, you can go find that wherever you buy your comics. Hey, Steven, will there be a Sandman season 2? It seems like Sandman.
Hi to you.
We did. It seems like Sandman's doing all right. So, will there be a season 2? Or are we going to have to wait around until we find out?
That is, you know, I don't know if you guys have watched the entire thing yet. Scott, I'm guessing no. But
hey, no.
The first season ended on a definite cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That is pretty much saying, oh yeah, we're definitely planning on a second season. And then Neil Gaiman goes on Twitter over the weekend or last week and was like, oh no, there is no guarantee that we're getting a second season.
Oh wow.
If you guys like this, then you better be watching it and rewatching it and getting all your friends to watch it, because Netflix has promised us nothing. And
wow.
That's really interesting. I mean, they dropped the surprise episode, 11th episode, this weekend. on Netflix. Yeah, it's not the main storyline, but it's still good.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm only 5 episodes in. I'm actually part of the way through the excellent David Thewlis episode, the 5th episode. So I'm not even through with the whole series yet. I'm so glad to know there's even more than I initially thought there was.
Here's the actual quote from Neil Gaiman about it. He says, because Sandman is really expensive show, it is a really expensive show, and for Netflix to release the money to let us make another season, we have to perform incredibly well. So yes, we've been the top show in the world for the last 2 weeks. That still may not be enough, he wrote in a tweet responding to a fan who believes the series is coming back as a given. So who knows? Okay.
I mean, Netflix is one of those that just is like so dang frustrating when it comes to, and I can imagine from the producer side that are we going to be renewed? I mean, this happened way back with Stranger Things. It was like months after the first season had been released, did Netflix say, okay, yeah, go ahead and let's do a Stranger Things season 2. So I can imagine this is super frustrating to not know whether you're getting that next season or not.
Sure. Well, I don't know. It feels like what does it have to do then? If 2 weeks on the number one spot isn't enough, what is enough? Is it 4 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? Is it, you know, like what's the limit? You know,
Gaiman says this is a high budget piece, and it is. I mean, it is just great actors, great special effects. They felt like they did not hold back on this. And yeah, I would imagine that there's at least between $5 and $10 million spent per episode is my guess. So you've got a very expensive show that needs to recoup its cost either through new subscribers or through people just watching it again and again and again.
Yeah, I think there's one possibility. Chat mentions it, and he does say this in his part of his response was, you know, worst case, if it doesn't happen at Netflix, it doesn't mean it's dead. It could go somewhere else.
Where's it going to go? HBO Max.
That's a good one. I think if it had a likelihood of going anywhere, it might be something Prime would pick up. I could see them doing it.
Oh, sure.
They got money to waste.
Really, that would be a big slap in the face, wouldn't it?
I mean, it would be, but they do that. They've done that before. I think one or two titles are like that over there.
Oh, really? Have hopped from one to the other?
Yeah. We did start watching. I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. We just thought, you know, well, let's see a couple episodes while the kids are over last night. We watched the first two episodes of A League of Their Own, TV show version thing. It was really good. And funny. Like, I don't know what I expected. I'm actually still not quite sure what I'm expecting, but it's very different from the movie. It feels more like whatever the source material was. And I thought it was really funny. There's a lot of lesbians. Lots of lesbians. They're just leaning right into that lesbian bit. They're just going for it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one that I was going to use as a recommendal. We finished it. And because there's no second season, I feel like I can't use it as a recommendal because there's no closure, but it's Night Sky, which is J.K. Simmons and Sissy Spacek.
Oh, yeah.
About a couple that has a portal, a chamber in their backyard to another universe or another world. Excellent. Really, really good show. No season two that's been canceled. And there's, even though much of the main storyline has been answered by the final episode, there are still a lot of questions that you're left with at the end of season one. And I'd love to see another streaming service pick it up because I think it was excellent.
So this is a Prime and they canceled it, eh? That's a bummer.
They canceled it. It's such a bummer because J.K. Simmons was freaking brilliant in this.
I like Sissy Spacek too, and they're both great actors.
Yeah, they really are. I may
still watch that as a, I don't know.
It's worth seeing because it's a great story and it's a lot like, it's got the feel of like Devs and Outer Range, which was really good.
All those things, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Okay. Outer Range probably the best comparison because you've got that. Here's the country, and then here's a weird sci-fi anomaly that we're working around.
Does J.K. Simmons yell at Sissy Spacek for not playing the drums right, or is that a different thing?
He says, get me pictures of the portal!
Okay. Calls her Peter, and things like that.
Steve and I did the same joke.
That's the only joke you can do.
That's the only really one you is, got.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the thing.
Anyway.
Watch for possibly... Here's my prediction. Sandman Season 2 will happen. That's my prediction.
I think it will as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think? It just feels like a little too big to not.
I mean, it's Brian, you're at the scary episode. So the next episode is the is the fun episode.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'm loving the scary.
I mean, it has.
Yeah. Holy cow! Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Yeah. Just keep going. It's a good fun show. I highly recommend it to anybody that ever read Sandman. If you've only heard about Sandman or are interested in it, this show will take care of you.
What did you guys, I haven't seen it yet. The She-Hulk episode one, how'd that go?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, if
it's
people
our next
have been
thing to
wondering,
talk about, as a matter of fact.
Good transition there, Scott.
Yeah.
My youngest did not really care for it, and he and I have been sitting down and watching all the Marvel and Star Wars stuff this summer. He was a little bored, and I don't think it was because, it's got a girl. I think it's because he was hoping for more. There is some smashing, but he was wanting good guys smashing bad guys kind of stuff. Yeah. And there's not a lot of that as much as there is, hey, control your anger and, find your inner stuff. And
Zen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zen.
I don't want to dox anybody, but
there is
somebody
a ton of Ruffalo in this, which is great.
There definitely was. And so one of the conversations that that she has with her cousin is whether Steve Rogers is a virgin or not.
Right.
And it's a big part of the conversation, the bonding moment in the episode. And you'll find out that answer if you stick around for the post-credit sequence. This is one of the first times that they've done a post-credit sequence in the first episode.
Yeah, I think it's the first time they've done a post-credit sequence.
So I thought Steve Rogers, when he decided in Endgame or at the end of Infinity War, wherever the hell it was, I guess Endgame, he decides to go
live his life with Carter. Agent Carter.
I thought there were like kids involved and all that stuff. No.
No, you don't ever see kids. You see them just dancing in their house, but
very chaste.
I filled that in. I assume they're having sex. Of course they are. They're married.
He just says, "I could do this all day." they have kids afterwards.
It's like, "Are you going to have kids?" And he says, "Nope, I don't think I will," or whatever.
Well, being stuck in ice for a long time has an effect on a man.
So the Chaz of Scott's world, being married, having kids. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, I thought there was some reference of kids. I don't know why I thought that. But regardless, if they got married, they had sex, okay? They had sex. He put his wiener in her Virginia. That's what happened.
No one knows what happened to Steve Rogers at the end, except for, Bucky and Sam Wilson.
Oh, right. Yeah, that whole deal. Yeah. Well, those two have also had sex. Just kidding. All right.
Falcon Winter Soldier?
I mean, it's She-Hulk is fun. I want to see where it goes. And
I do, too. And I should watch that first episode. I think I'm going to make that happen before I leave.
No multiverse stuff, so it's not like you have to watch it for any other tie-in stuff.
And boy, does it feel like the comic. The comic always had that fourth wall-breaking comedy kind of bit to it, and the TV show captures that perfectly.
Now, our final story is a little weird, because when you think of Rick and Morty, you don't always first think of, and you think of Rick and you think of Morty. You know, it's like, oh, Rick, I don't know about this. Shut up, you piece of shit. That's what you think of. You don't think about Rick's daughter, a.k.a. Beth, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. married lady to a guy from SNL. Can't think of his name.
Chris Parnell.
Yep. Yeah. She's getting her own comic book, and that seems crazy. So tell me about it. What's going on there?
It is. So first of all, Oni Press has been going through some real stuff over the last couple of weeks or months. We could spend a whole 20 minutes just on the legal issues that Oni is going through. But apparently they're still going to continue to publish comics. And they released their November solicitations that has Beth getting her own comic book series. This is where Beth is in a terrible accident. She can't operate. She's a veterinarian, a horse doctor. So she uses some strange powers to do things. So this is going to be your take of Doctor Strange in the Rick and Morty universe.
Yeah, I thought for sure, they would play off of her alternate universe badass superhero self. But no, they're doing current world continuity. That second issue cover, by the way, that you showed, that is very Doctor Strange and has like a Rick and Morty esque Dormammu and a Rick and Morty esque Eternity or Death. No, who is
Eternal?
That? Eternal.
Yeah. Or Eternity.
Definitely playing on some stuff there.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great cover that is.
They do a really good job. Let me see. Fred Van Lente is the writer on this. They do a really good job of creating Rick and Morty comic books over at Oni. And and there's something in there if you're a Rick and Morty fan. I think one of the biggest problems anytime you take an animated series and you turn it into a comic book is it feels like it's losing some life to it. But the stories are still well thought out and well told. So I'm sure this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, it looks like it's all right. By the way, fun side note, Sarah Chalk is the voice of Beth in the TV show.
Yeah, from Scrubs.
From Scrubs, yeah. She was Bobby, Billy, what was her name? Doc Elliot, sorry, Elliot.
Elliot. And she was the replacement Becky on Roseanne for one season.
Oh, what? I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, she was replacement Becky, and they make a joke. The whole family's sitting there watching Bewitched, and they said, how come nobody ever bitched about them changing Darren's? And they said, nobody ever noticed it, or something like that. There's like some weird credit season.
Wow.
Was it more than one season? It was a couple seasons, because Becky did come back for the Connors. That actress did, didn't she?
I don't remember. Did she?
I can't remember. Yeah.
To me, they were never. They were always the same, indistinguishable blonde girl. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. She did a lot of voice work. Wow.
She is, and Wormageddon is just a couple. The season 6 premiere of Rick and Morty is just a couple weeks away.
Yeah, come very quickly.
Faster than you expected.
It's going to be only three episodes for the season, is my guess.
You think so?
No, I hope not. God.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
You want to see dude bros riot in the streets?
Yeah, they'll lose their minds. Rick fans, don't mess with them. They're weird. All right, there's your look at some cool stuff going on in the world of pop culture and comics. Steven, there's always something rad happening at Major Spoilers. Do you want to tell us about anything coming up?
Yeah, so something that just launched today, way back in 2018, Dr. Brad Will, who's a regular on a lot of our shows, he's also a scholar of H.P. Lovecraft, did his PhD on that. We actually recorded our audiobook version of The Dunwich Horror, and I finally this summer got around to editing it. So the very first chapter dropped on Apple Podcasts today. So if you go and look for The Dunwich Horror from Major Spoilers Entertainment, you can go and listen to it. They're really short 10-minute chapters that we're going to release every week between now and Halloween, so people can get our take on that classic H.P. Lovecraft tale.
That's great. Very cool. Go check it out, you guys. Again, majorspoilers.com for all this stuff. Steven.
Mm-hmm. It is cooling off, but remember to stay hydrated. Okay?
Yeah, that seems like good advice. Bye now. Hey, I got rid of him before he got rid of me. Fantastic.
Wow. Well done.
I feel better about myself.
You showed him, Scott.
I sure did.
A lesson.
I sure did. Okay. Look at this, everyone.
Send and receive email.
A couple of quick emails. Here's one from Chuck Gaskill. Gaskill, probably.
Gaskill. Yeah.
Gaskill. He's from Salem, Oregon. That's where all the witches were. No, wait. That was the other Salem.
No, that was the other Salem.
Hello, Skittles and M&Ms. Wait. Skittles works with Scott. M&M's.
Yeah, M&M's doesn't. But yeah. I am round like an M&M, so I'll take it.
And you're candy-coated, so.
I'm candy-coated, and the red version of me will kill you.
That's right. Yeah. The green will make you horny. Anyway, this email is a reference to your turn fact-based, your fun fact-based about squirrels causing most.
All of a sudden, you turned us into an MMO.
I don't know what happened there. Most electrical outages. This was on TMS 2335. A few months ago, our Toyota truck started acting funny. It started with the radio acting up and then escalated to the gauges acting funny. It culminated with the truck engine just not running smoothly. So we took it into a local Toyota dealership to have them look at it. We live here in Oregon and see a lot of squirrels in our neighborhood. So I suspected squirrels, especially after seeing one hop onto the wheel well of the truck. When a Toyota rep called me after a couple of days, he said he couldn't confirm for sure that squirrels had been at work, but apparently something had chewed 5 different wiring harnesses in the engine compartment, one of which controlled the engine performance and required removing the engine to replace. The estimate to replace all the wiring harness was something around $11,000.
Holy cow.
He says, I'm not kidding, to make sure we know he's serious. I called my insurance company. They said that the damage would be covered. We just had to pay for our deductible and the extra cost for Toyota to put a wrap around the new wire harnesses that apparently has a bitter taste when bitten into, like that video game cartridge, he says.
Switch cartridges taste. I love it. They should just automatically do that on everything.
I need to. Yeah. That reminds me. I really need to make Van taste one lick of those cartridges. Yeah. I got to try it. See if it works on a kid, because they're the ones.
Did you keep track of which one you licked so you'd make sure he doesn't lick the same one?
Yeah, that's a game I can't find my copy of Mario Kart 8 anywhere, and that's the one I licked.
That's the one you licked. Yeah. Okay.
Even though there were no concrete proof that squirrels did the damage, I can't look at them the same way anymore, those little effers. Keep up the great work.
Oh, we know. We know they did it.
Thanks, Chuck, for your email. That's interesting. $11,000, though, for wire harnessing? My gosh.
Jeez. And taking the entire engine out, though, is the...
I guess so, yeah. And if this is a big, nice, like, $80,000, you know, Toyota Tundra.
It's the truck Marty got at the end of Back to the Future.
Yeah, that was a cool truck. I remember wanting that
truck. I don't know
truck.
If it really was that one, but yeah.
That black...
Mom, I can't go up to the lake because Dad wrecked the car. What, Marty?
I made out with you in high school.
Moose 20.
I'm my own father.
Moose 2220. I'm sorry. 2271 wrote in and says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, Michelin and Goodyear." Oh, this is about tires and why they still have air in them.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Michelin and Goodyear both have been working on airless tires for over 20 years. There are still several problems with them. Automakers depend on airless tires for ride quality. I think he means air to tires for ride quality. Making a compound that is soft enough to increase ride quality decreases the life of the tire to less than 3,000 miles. To combat the heat from friction with the road, the tires have to be much harder compound, or the tires literally shred like lettuce.
Wow.
Picture that. Lastly, heavier vehicles like electric vehicles and trucks had problems with the tires coming off the rims when cornering at speed. So this is about 6 years ago. They are still working on them, though. As a side note, forklifts have had them for 70 years or more, says Moose 2271. The problem is
have to go very fast.
Yeah, Brian doesn't have to pick up lift passengers in Boulder using a freaking forklift.
Although that would be a lot easier. They wouldn't have to get in the car. I just drive up to them.
Yep.
Hey, are you Sarah? Okay. Beep, 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 beep. And I just pick them up with a forklift and...
I want this. This is the dark future I signed up for.
That's right. We'll be at Dutch Brothers Coffee in about 12 minutes.
Yeah. It'll be, and that's only a block away because those things are slow as shit.
It's a block away. Yeah, exactly.
I love this idea. All right. That's it for your emails. If you'd like to send some of your own in, it's themorningstream@gmail.com. Very quickly, I'd like to mention some new patrons to the show that were signups after we last spoke. For example, Luke. I don't have a last name, just Luke.
Luke!
We are your father, I suppose. Anyway, thanks for joining up. On the 18th, we also got Mike and LB, OMG Spiders, and Carl Wilcox.
I've been told that I look like if Luke, Mike and LB, OMG Spiders, and Carl Wilcox had a baby, that's what I'd look like. Or that's what I look like. Yeah.
Whenever someone says pick the tickets up at Will Call, I always think Wilcox. Is that weird?
Could you pick the tickets up at Wilcox?
Yeah, Wilcox. Some reason, every time. It's just in my head. Can't help it.
Oh, fun.
That's it for that. And if you want to be like them, now's the time to sign up. Actually, any time is, but sign up now. Patreon.com/TMS. Even $1 a month would help us a lot. We would really, really appreciate it. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website, and you can find us on Twitter. We don't mention that very often. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. So if you're like, when do you guys go live? We tell you every time, about 10 minutes ahead on that Twitter account. So check it out, at Morning Stream. That's it for us. Hey, Brian, I'm guessing you came packing with a song.
I did, indeed. Jason, a.k.a. Maple Bacos on Twitch, said, "Dear Stout and Brown Ale." Those are beers, Scott.
Yeah, they are.
August 19th will mark 50 trips around the big fireball in the sky for me, so I'd like to request a song to celebrate. That day is a Friday, but I'm a patron member, so the day of the week is just fine, or any day of the week is just fine. He wrote this, I think, before he did. Yeah, he wrote this way before we did TMS Couch Potato Party.
That explains. Anyway. Yeah, he's raising the dead ghost of a thing we don't do
That's
anymore.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. Can you play a rocking cover of or by Tool, Rage Against the Machine, or The Smashing Pumpkins? I really enjoy your podcast, which I listen to on my commute and when walking for exercise. Keep up the great work. P.S. We asked for more fish, but they wouldn't give us any more fish and told us that we could eat rice.
Wow. Okay. Before I do any of that, there's this.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
All right. That's for your birthday. And then... fit. Oh my gosh. I haven't done these two in a while.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Let me try it. More fish. Okay. Here's the more fish.
I love.
No.
We asked for more fish and they refused to give us any more fish.
And what was the other one?
Rice. You can eat rice.
You can eat rice. Here it is. Oh, I'll give him twice the fun here.
Then you can eat rice!
And then I'll play it backwards.
See how eating it we.
I don't remember when I even did that. Anyway, there you go. Happy 50th, man.
Cool. That's all right, awesome. So how about a rockin' cover by Smashing Pumpkins? This is even before Gish, that awesome debut album produced by Butch Vig.
I didn't know there was a thing before Gish. I love Gish.
There was, yes. This was recorded back in 1990, about a year before they would release their first album. They were just just this indie Chicago band rocking out in local clubs and stuff. They contributed to a compilation called 20 Explosive Dynamic Super Smash Hit Explosions, which was a compilation album featuring a bunch of different bands doing covers of 70s songs, kind of in that K-Tel kind of appearance of the album. Great albums, and I don't even know if there would have been a Coverville if it weren't for the series of albums, because they're so good.
Wow, I didn't realize big influence then. That's cool.
I pulled a lot of stuff. This was a regular album I'd go to when we'd have people come over, and I'm like, see if you recognize this song. And there was this unknown band on there that I liked called Smashing Pumpkins. And they did a cover of the Ozark Mountain Daredevils' Jackie Blue. You're going to hear it right now. Here are Smashing Pumpkins.
Wearing This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Phony mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, that's what you get here.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.